Perry Stone here. Manifest is now on the air. Pay attention carefully to this special message. I'm going to be dealing with the subject of four secrets Satan hopes you never discover. I don't know if you've noticed recently, the past several years, the programming that comes on social media and also television that deals with the paranormal, extraterrestrials, demons, ghosts, seances, mediums, familiar spirits, and you also see it in some of the cartoons and movies that are being produced by some alleged children's programming. You see things about haunted houses, ghosts, spirits, people that are dead that are supposed to be walking through a house. I have to tell you something. I was watching one of those channels one day out of curiosity, and they had this equipment, and everybody looked green. The room was dark. And if so much as a floorboard squeaked, they'd say, what was that? And I just had to sit back and laugh because it's hyped up quite a bit, you know, obviously to get an audience. And of course, there's other networks that do nothing but aliens. But the thing that we're dealing with now, especially throughout the world, Europe has it, the UK has it, the United States, Canada, Latin America, are the number of young people that are getting involved in the occult, what we call demonic activity. Now, I want to began with a personal story. This is very interesting. I was called to preach at age 16, began traveling at age 18. For some reason, from age 16 to 18, I was very intrigued with the spirit world, both angels, but especially demons. Now, don't ask me why, but I began to read all these books about demonic activity, demon spirits. And then let me say this, I was not afraid. I was not afraid of people that were possessed by spirits or the idea of an evil spirit, but something happened in the month of July when I was about 18 years of age, and it continued all the way to the end of December. Actually, it lasted for about 6 months, and I would awaken. I was not asleep, but I would hear voices. I would see shadows. I actually saw with my own eyes robed beings. I heard cursing. They were cursing me. They were threatening me. And so I went to my mentor. One of my mentors was Brother Floyd Lahan, the evangelism director for the Churches of God in the state of Virginia. And my mother had already gone to him and said, my boy is really called to preach, but he seems to be infatuated with demon spirits. And so I wanted to begin to tell him about these manifestations I was having, and I thought, you know, he was going to be mesmerized and amazed at this taking place. So when I told him about all this manifestation, he leaned over the desk, and I'll never forget it. He looked at me, and he'd say, Perry. That's what he would say, Perry. He'd say, Perry. He said this, as long as you are talking about demons, they're going to show up. If you talk about Jesus, he will show up. And I remember him saying, but if you talk about Jesus, he had a way of saying it. And it really changed my thinking. And so what I did, I began to study different messages. So here's what began to take place in my revivals from age 18 onward. I began to preach messages that were filled with faith, about answered prayer and about deliverance. I began to preach prophecy messages. We had a prophecy night on Saturday night. I began to preach about the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit messages. We began to see people baptized in the Holy Spirit. I began to preach covenant, salvation, and I really began to preach I had some great messages on the power of the name of Jesus, the authority of the name of Jesus. So let me tell you what began to happen. If you're not familiar with our ministry, those of you that are will remember these days. In 1980, we went to Northport, Alabama, had a four-week revival with over 150 people coming to the Lord. In 1981, I went to Virginia in Pulaski, had a five-week revival, and there was over 150 souls won to Christ, and over 100 received the Holy Spirit. In 1982, went to Daisy, Tennessee for an eight-week revival. There was 450 people that were saved. Now, this is not guesswork. This is actual people that we know. And over 500 received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. In 1985, again in Tennessee, there was an 11-week revival. 500 were saved. In fact, that particular church in Tennessee, they took in 280 new members that were won to the Lord during the revival. And then, of course, through the years, we went to Gainesville, Georgia, Cleveland, Tennessee, Dalton, Georgia. Those were 4- and 5-week revivals as well. So I noticed something, that as I began to change my thinking and the messages, God would begin to confirm what I was teaching and what I was sharing about. Now, What I did find out during this time was four things that the enemy does not want you to understand, because if you ever get these secrets out, and I say they're secret, they're not really secrets, they're just things that are not necessarily well known in the body of Christ, it can change your situation. Secret number one is this: for a Christian, Satan only has the authority that you allow him to have. And let me explain it to you this way. If he could do whatever he wanted at any time to you, he would have already done that. And if he could kill you, trust me, he would have already taken your life. But the keys of death and hell do not belong to him. Revelation 1 says they belong to Jesus. Matthew 28:18, all power, that is a Greek word for authority, Jesus said, is given to me both in heaven and in earth. Luke 10:19, I give you power. Again, the Greek word there is authority, to tread on serpents and scorpions. And here's the key: and over all of the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. In Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11, they overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Revelation 1:18, I am he, Jesus said, that was dead, but I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of death and hell. Now, when I went through that time of torment for 6 months in Virginia, and I was traveling at that time, and things would happen while I was traveling, things would happen at home. Here's what I realized I was doing. During those 6 months, I began to accept what was happening to me. I didn't know why it was happening. I had no understanding of why the Lord was permitting it to take place, but I do remember this. I remember that I said, oh my goodness, I bet tonight that manifestation will happen again, or I'd be on the road and say, boy, I hope it doesn't happen, but I had an expectation because I had dealt with it so much, two times a week, three times a week, that it was just going to happen. It stopped on January the 1st. We came into a new year, and I was in the basement of my house, and I won't go into all the detail, but it stopped when my inner spirit saw this manifestation of a demonic power, heard it laughing, and my spirit rose up. It was like another pair of stone on the inside. It would have been my spirit. And my spirit, not my mouth, began to rebuke that and said, no more. We will have this no more in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was exercising authority over the power of the enemy. I got so used to the trial that I didn't fight it. And then when my spirit rose up to fight it, that's when it completely, totally ceased. I remember when my wife and I were praying for our son, Jonathan, who had a terrible addiction and bondage at that time. And Jonathan came about 3 a.m. and woke us up out of bed and said, I need you to come here because something has happened. So I never will forget my wife, Pam, who is very quiet, very, laid back, peaceful, just a beautiful lady. Boy, when she found out that the enemy was really attacking our son, I've never forgot this. She marched upstairs to her room. I've never heard her do this before or since. And that woman was like a mama bear fighting over a cub. She was praying, but she was praying loud. Satan, you cannot have my son. I rebuke you. Your presence has no right in this house. I'm the mama of this house. This is my boy that I birthed. You'll not have him and you'll not take him. And I remember she went from praying to commanding, from praying to demanding, from praying a prayer of petition to a command of authority. And this is one of the things I want you to understand, and that is simply this, that Satan only has the authority that you allow him to have in your life. And that's just a fact, because Jesus said all authority is given to me both in heaven and in earth. Here's the second thing I need you to understand. Number two, evil spirits cannot remain in the presence of Jesus Christ. In Mark chapter 5, there was someone, I call him Mr. Legion. That wasn't the guy's name. Legion was the name of the spirit that had the chief spirit that was possessing this man. And the chief spirit said to Jesus in Mark 5, are you come to torment us before the time? Now, in Luke 4, when Satan tempted Jesus on the, we call it the Mount of Temptation. It was actually right above Jericho in the Judean wilderness. And there's a monastery up there to this day on the top of that mountain that commemorates the time of Christ's victory over Satan. But if you'll remember in Luke 4, what Jesus did every time Satan came to him with a temptation, Christ went to the book of Deuteronomy in the Old Testament and quoted a verse from Deuteronomy that would counter the three different temptations. So he had three verses from Deuteronomy that countered the three temptations that were taking place. So here's the thing. When Jesus would show up, whether it was outdoors, the man of Gadara, whether it was a synagogue that we read about, or whether it was an outdoor meeting, when he showed up, people that were controlled by evil spirits would automatically begin to manifest. Now, why did that happen? It happened because evil spirits and Jesus' presence do not exist in the same room. Either the Holy Spirit will take charge without the presence of God there, but when the presence of God steps in, what happens is that the power and authority that is in the name of Jesus and the power and authority through the Holy Spirit takes authority over the powers of the enemy. So what you have to do, and this is what my mentor Floyd Lahan was trying to tell me, Perry, you need to create through your prayer and worship the presence of Jesus in your life, because the more of Jesus you have, the less the enemy has of any influence, control, authority, or whatever it might be that he's attempting to do. Now, a lot of people will attend, and I'm not trying to be critical, but it's true, churches that are ultra sensitive to the people, and they're more sensitive to the people's feelings than they are the Holy Spirit moving. And so many times they come to a church and they just basically remain in the same bondage, remain in the same sin, but they come to church either out of habit or because a friend goes or a girlfriend goes, and they go through a 30-minute service and then they leave unchanged. And I've said there's some churches that need their sign to be "come as you are and leave the way you came," because there's no transformation. But however, when you have a church that's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll find out that people who are bound by the powers of the enemy, or they're bound by a sin or a hidden sin, they do not want to be in a church where the power of God is, unless they want to be free and be liberated. And it's real interesting, when my dad, when I was a kid growing up in Big Stone Gap, Virginia, my dad was a preacher of a small church, a pastor, and a lot of the people there were good people. He knew a lot of the business people, but they thought our people were the poor people and the underprivileged people, and they believed in weird things like praying for folks in an altar. But when those individuals from the other churches needed prayer or needed a miracle, they would call on my dad and ask him if he would pray for them, because they knew that Fred Stone, that would be my dad's name, carried the presence of the Lord with him, or what we knew as the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Now, the third thing I want to tell you that's very important, now listen, this is powerful. Satanic powers cannot resist your resistance. Now, what do I mean by that? In James chapter 5 and verse 7, submit yourself. It talks about humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, that he will exalt you in due time. So humility before God is the first process. But submit yourself to God, resist the devil, James 5, 7, and he will flee from you. Now, the reason I'm telling you that is you first submit to God and then you resist. And the word resist in the Greek simply means to stand up against, to exercise a resistance against. Now, how do we resist? We don't resist just in our mind. That's part of it. But we have to resist with audible words, just like Jesus audibly quoted scriptures to the adversary in Matthew 4 and Luke 4. He used his authority to resist the enemy by taking the Bible and taking verses to form a wall and a hedge of resistance to prevent the enemy from moving any further in against him. So to resist something is to push against it and not accept it. Jesus has said in several instances, "Get behind me, Satan." Now, do you think the enemy said, "I'm not getting behind you. You can't tell me what to do"? No, let me tell you, when Jesus spoke and when his apostles spoke, and you're a follower of Christ, when you speak, the enemy must obey if you are willing to resist. Resist temptation. temptation, resist the temptation to sin, resist the temptation of getting angry when you shouldn't, resist the temptation of falling into unforgiveness and bitterness. If you will resist, now listen, if you will absolutely resist with your actions and your word, understand this, satanic powers cannot resist your ability to resist. That's a powerful word. That's a powerful word for somebody who's watching me outside the United States right now. You need to hear this. You must learn to say no. No has to rise up within you. Now, the fourth thing that's very important that I want to tell you is this. The enemy does not want you to know that he enters your door by you keeping a hidden sin or an unrepentant sin. Now, there were three people that Jesus dealt with, Peter, Judas, Jesus dealt with Peter and told him, "Get behind me, Satan," when Peter was resisting something Jesus was saying. Now, in Judas's situation, who betrayed Christ, Satan entered Judas's heart, but John says that he was a thief, which is the Greek word klepto, a kleptomaniac, a thief from the beginning. Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5 were confronted by the apostle Peter for lying against the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the point. Peter and Judas and Ananias, Peter had pride in him. That was the problem. Judas was a thief in his heart, and Ananias and Sapphira had lied to the Holy Ghost. So here's what I'm trying to say. When you look at the ministry of Jesus, Jesus made a very powerful statement that is a revolution. I mean, it's a revelation, I should say, a revelatory statement. John 14, verse 30. I want them to bring this up on the screen. Hereafter, now, he's getting ready to go in the Garden of Gethsemane here, but he says, "Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world is coming, but he has nothing in me." Now, there's different translations about this. The NIV says, "He has no hold on me." The Amplified says, "There's nothing in me that belongs to him. No, he has no power over me." The Jewish Bible reads, "He has no claim on me." The Message Bible says it this way, "He has nothing on me." So now here's what Jesus was saying. He didn't tell the disciples what was going to happen, but he knew he would go to the whipping post. He knew he would go to the cross, and it would look like Satan had won. But he was saying, when you see these things happen, Satan has nothing to hold on to inside of me. You know, Christ knew no sin. He was sinless. So the enemy had no charges to accuse him with because there was nothing there to accuse him of. So in other words, they had to have a facade trial. They had to have false witnesses. They had to make up lies because they had nothing in Jesus to hold on to. You know, the Lord said to Cain, he said, "Cain, if you do well, everything is great. But if not, sin is lying at the door." And of course, that was the situation where Cain had murdered his brother Abel and then buried his brother's body underneath the ground. So what I want to say to you that's very important is this. First of all, and I want to say this, the adversary loves attention. He loves for you to talk about how powerful he is and how great he is and how destructive he is, because Satan's problem is pride. And if you know anything about someone that has a huge ego, they love to be bragged on and built up. So the thing you have to do is cut off the bragging on what the enemy is doing. And you can say something like this: "I've been under an attack, but I'm telling you, God's about to bring me out. There's authority in the name of Jesus. There's authority in the Word of God. And I take authority over that." Now, that's the difference. Instead of saying, "Woe is me. What am I going to do? I'm going from one tack to another. God's just let the devil loose on me like an old pit bull." Nothing wrong with your pit bull. I'm saying, I'm using that as a little metaphor there, because they can get rough on you if you stir them up. So what I'm trying to say is this: there are things that you need to understand, yes, about your adversary. So it's good to have knowledge, because Jesus said we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. But at the same time, it's also good for you to know that there's limitations that Christ Christ has put upon the adversary. And so these are four things that if you'll study this, and listen to me, I hope whether you're watching this on a channel or let's say you're watching it on social media somehow through one of our social media presentations, watch this several times and really glean from it, because I think you need to listen to this more than one time. Now, this is very important what I'm about to share with you right now. My son was under an attack for 20 years, and we kept believing God to bring him out, and God brought him out. And he is I'm just going to say it, he is a genius in his mind. God speaks to him about revelation. He has this gift, and we wrote a book together called Children of the Apocalypse. And it's not just about kids. It's not just about children. It's protocols for the church and for the family, for individuals, raising your young people in this day and time. We have one called Cribs in the Crossfire. That's just one of 20 some chapters. Now, if you will order this right now from our ministry, you not only will get the book, but we have an offer where you will get the two most important prophetic messages that I feel like the Lord's put in my heart the past couple months. And that's the packet. If you want to, but either way, if you get the packet or the book, I am going to have Jonathan sign it and I will sign it. This is a first edition. So get ready. You can only get the signed edition from the ministry. So watch this. We'll tell you how to get it.
Are you raising children in our increasingly dangerous, deceptive, and apocalyptic world? How do you protect them from spiritual darkness and the schemes of the enemy? How do you protect yourself, your family, and your church, and stand firm as the storms intensify?
Hello, this is Perry Stone, and I'm excited to announce that my son Jonathan and I have completed our first co-authored prophetic book, Children of the Apocalypse. This powerful 24-chapter, 277-page volume is overflowing with transformational prophetic insight and includes urgent, practical protocols for you, your city, your church, and your children. 12 of the 24-chapter topics include Cribs in the Crossfire, Pornography, the Electronic Seduction, Infants, Children, and Pregnant Women at the Time of the Rapture, Secrets to Protective Prayers, Beware of Becoming a Scammer's Victim, Preparing for a Sudden Societal Breakdown, Forming an Apocalyptic Family Plan, Protocols and Wisdom to Outwit an Attacker, Protecting Your Church, Your Ministry, and Your Congregation, Dangerous Places to Be Living When the Birth Pains Begin, When Is It Time to Flee to the Mountains, The Curve That Rules the Beast, The Babel Effect, and so much more. I want you to order now and receive a limited first edition copy personally signed by myself, Perry Stone, and my son, Jonathan. As a special bonus, you will receive the new two-hour series available on CD or digital download, in which I will present compelling evidence that we are now entering the major birth pain cycle of 2026 and beyond, along with another powerful message unleashing the new pre-tribulation signs. This signed edition of Children of the Apocalypse is available exclusively through Perry Stone Ministries. I want you to order online at perrystone.org, or you can call toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD. That's 1-888-212-7323, and request offer CA-153 for your donation of $30 or more. Or you can mail in your request for the offer number CA-153 to Perry Stone, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. Your copy is waiting, so please contact us today. I will promise you, you will glean powerful new information and prophetic content. And I love the protocols, because we're going to teach you how to be an overcomer and how to deal with the serious challenges that are lying ahead as we are now entering the final cycle of the major birth pains before the return of the Lord. I am looking forward to hearing from you. And remember, your giving helps keep Manifest on the air. Thank you for joining me on the Manifest telecast. Stay with me now, because I want to add a few things about the book, Children of the Apocalypse. The back of the book says, "The last days are here. How will you protect, prepare, and empower your family?" And I've had publishers who publish books that read this and they contacted me and they said, we have kept up with your writing and your books for the past 20 to 30 years, some of them. This one is more practical. This one will help people more than any book prophetically that your ministry has ever written. And I believe that myself. And my son helped put some of his insight from his generation into what they see is about to happen. So get the book, and if you ordered from the Voice of Evangelism right now, him and I will sign a copy of the first print, first edition book while they last, okay? And then with the offer is now entering the major birth pain cycles. Folks, if we've ever been in birth pain cycles of Matthew 24, verse 8, we're in it now, big time, unlike anything I've ever seen. So the Lord dealt with me about 2026, and there's a four-year time frame in there of what would happen in the earth and to the nations, and also involving the United States. And it's 2 hours of teaching. This is two CDs, but if you would rather have a download of it, and you have to purchase it, of course, because it's part of your packet that you get when you purchase the entire packet. You can get a download, and that way you can listen to it, and also we will send you the book. So all that's available at our website at perrystone.org, and the information is available. And you can also call our office if you would like. Some of the places we're going to be coming to is One City Church in Beaumont, Texas. And the only other Texas meeting I think we've got planned, if I'm not mistaken, would be when we come to Huntsville in the month of August. So that's Pastor Felshaw's church, Friday night, Saturday. I think there's two services Saturday and Sunday morning only. So we have that time frame set apart. The International Prophetic Summit, 14 services in 3.5 days. Folks, I was told that this is the largest conference of its kind now being conducted in the United States, and I believe that's possible. Brand new speakers this year. I can't wait for you to hear these men and what they've got to share. This is the conference of the year, and that's the end of April here in Cleveland, Tennessee, and we want you to be a part of that. And then we'll be coming to some other places. Kentucky Church of God Camp Meeting June 10th, Redemption Church with Pastor Ed King in Knoxville the 12th through the 14th of June, perrystone.org. Get our itinerary and come and join us. God bless you.
If you are a student of Bible prophecy, or maybe just someone who wants to know what in the world is going on, then you don't want to miss the 2026 Prophetic Summit at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee, April 22nd through the 26th. Hear world-renowned prophetic speakers Joseph Z, Rick Renner, Jeremiah Johnson, Bill Cloud, Brian Cutshaw, Jonathan Kahn, and your host, Perry Stone. These 14 services will answer hundreds of prophetic questions with insight and information. There is no fee to attend, but you must register for seating. Visit perrystone.org for more details.